Welcome to the Women of Influence podcast with Tammy Hotzenpiller. Today, Tammy will be teaching from her series, My Story. Story is the most powerful tool we have to empower and change a life. Join us as we look into the lives of several women in the Bible with journeys similar to ours. Now, here is Tammy with today's teaching. Hello, women of influence. Welcome back to our podcast. My name is Karen. I'm here with our founder and leader, Miss Tammy. How are you?
I'm so good. I'm so excited about this story. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible.
I know, especially since The Bachelor is all done. We got to get our fix of romance.
I love you.
So the two ladies that we will be discussing today are Leah and Rachel. And you've titled their story as The Search for True Love.
You know, wow, this really is a search for true love. What I love about this story is we find two sisters, and really we could talk quite a bit about resentment, because these two sisters really ended up resenting one another. We pick up the story in Genesis 29, and we find a story here where Jacob is making his way to the well, and he's running from Esau, his brother, and he stops at his well. His mother, Rebekah, said, "Go live with my brother Laban. He will take care of you," while Esau cools down. You know, Esau's wanting to kill him, his brother. So he makes his way looking for Laban, and he stops at this well, and he said, "Is this the well of Laban?" And, oh, yes, it is. Matter of fact, here comes one of his wives, Rachel. And I love this story, because as he's getting ready to help get water and get a drink at the well, here comes Rachel. And the Bible's very clear to say he's definitely enamored with her immediately. Mm. He looks at her, and the Bible says he kisses her, and he says, "Is this the land of Laban?" And she says, yes, it is. Laban is my father. And she runs back and she tells her daddy, Laban, Jacob is here. Your sister Rebecca's son is here, and he needs a place to stay. So we pick up the story, and here's Jacob, and he's hanging out at the house for some time with his uncle Laban. And you can just imagine. Now, I love love stories. You brought up The Bachelor, and I love love stories. And I love thinking that Jacob was so in love. There was something about him that was so in love with Rachel. I can just kind of imagine them running through the land, waking up in the morning, flirting with one another, giggling over breakfast. There was this relationship that they were beginning to make. I mean, you know what it's like when you first start to fall in love. Mm-hmm. And so Jacob comes to, goes to Laban, and Laban thanks him for his work. And he says, "I can't not give you something. You've been working for me for such a long time. Now, what is it that you want?" And he said, "There's only one thing I desire. I desire the hand of your daughter, Rachel. I love her." And so daddy Laban says, "Sounds good. You work for me 7 years, and I will give you the hand of my daughter." A little sneaky here. That's what
sweetens
he says.
The pot.
Okay, I'll give you the hand of my daughter, right? So he works for 7 years, and everybody's excited. It's going to be the wedding of the century, and everyone comes to the wedding, and it's a beautiful wedding. And that night, Jacob slips into the tent, you know, already. He's been excited for 7 years to be with this girl, only to find out the next morning when he wakes up that it's not Rachel, that it's Leah. Mm. Now, I don't even know how that can happen.
Right?
How in the world, unless it was just a really happy night before and there was just a whole lot of happiness going on, but for some reason he was under some kind of influence that he didn't recognize who he was sleeping with, but the Bible tells us he wakes up and Leah is there. And he's very, very angry. He runs at Daddy Laban and he said, "What's the story here? You know, I asked for Rachel's hand in marriage." And he said, "You know what the story is. This is our custom. Our custom is that the oldest sister has to be married first. Work for me another 7 years, and I will give you the hand of Rachel." Now, you can imagine Jacob's very upset right now, and he goes, "You have deceived me." And I love this story, because Jacob is saying that Daddy Laban deceived him. Remember, Jacob's name means deceiver. Hmm. And the whole story is what you sow, you reap, because he's running from his brother Esau, who he deceived in his father Isaac, giving him the birthright. Remember how he did the whole deceptive thing and he put the hairy arm on so his dad would think it was Esau and he got the blessing? So his name means deceiver. And now he's been caught in his own stew, right? Mm-hmm. He's been caught in his own mess and he's mad. And he says, "Listen, I love Rachel." He said, "Tell you what, you fulfill the duties you have toward Leah for 1 week. So apparently it was the law that for 1 week he had to fulfill his duties to her. Then I will allow you to go ahead and marry Rachel in 1 week, but you still have to work for me for another 7 years. Mm. Well, true love, he did it. So now he has two wives. But the interesting part of this story is here's two sisters married to the same man, and they both love him. And I think Rachel has something for Jacob that's deep and intimate. I think they have a young, beautiful love. I think it's very romantic and very sweet. But Leah is deeply in love with Jacob. She is enamored. She's probably even maybe has a deeper love than Rachel. I don't know. There's something that she deeply wanted his love. So she begins to have sons. She decides that if I give him a son, possibly I can buy his love. Mm. And one son after another son after another son. Matter of fact, the Bible is even clear to say the names that she named her son were cries for love. Maybe now he will love me. Maybe this will be enough. And she's crying for attention and she's crying for love. And she has four sons and never still the love that she sees that Rachel and Jacob have. Well, now let's flip the coin on the other side, because now here's Rachel watching what Leah has with Jacob, and she can't have that because she's barren. Mm. She can't have children. So there is a bond now that she doesn't have with her husband, Jacob, that Leah has through the bond of children. And even though Jacob looks at her and says, "You know how much I love you. I could never love anyone more than I love you." Yet she sees that there's something that he does have, because once you start having children, there is a love that we have for our children that nothing else can touch. So Rachel decides, you know what I'll do? I'll get my concubine. And when you had a concubine, you owned them. They were yours to do whatever you want with. And when a concubine would have your child, the child was yours. So she says, "I'll have my concubine have Jacob's child." So here we go. This starts here we go. Talk about the bachelor. You brought that up. So the concubine has a child for Jacob. And deep down she says, "Okay, this is my child, my concubine, my child." But she realized it still isn't hers. She so much wants a child to come from her womb. She wants so much to be able to give Jacob her own child. Well, not to be undone by her sister Leah. Leah says, "You're going to throw the concubine in? I'm throwing my concubine in."
Jacob
is busy. So now Jacob is running to the tent of Leah's concubine. So she has a son. He has a son with Leah's concubine. Rachel goes, I don't think so. Back in my tent, she goes. Now Jacob has another son with Rachel's concubine, not to be undone once again by Leah's concubine. Now, here's the interesting part of the story is that I was talking about this the other day when I was teaching women of influence. It never hit me like this before, that the 12 tribes of Israel all were birthed out of the desire for love that these two sisters had for one man.
Wow.
And it was this struggle for love. Rachel wanted love. Leah wanted love. They had two concubines that were also involved. But because of the war of love, we have the 12 tribes of Israel today. These 12 sons that were all sons of Jacob were the 12 tribes of Israel. Mm. And so Rachel begins to pray, and she just wants a child so desperately. So it's really funny. I don't know how much of the story you've read, but let me just kind of bring you up to speed with what happens. Leah's oldest son's name was Reuben. And Reuben was out farming one day, and he came across some mandrakes. Where mandrakes were a fertility plant. And so he came home, and he said to his mama, Leah, "Hey, Mama, look what I found. I found these mandrakes." Well, Rachel found out that her nephew, Laban, found mandrakes. So she goes to Leah. She says, "Leah, please give me the mandrakes. Give me the mandrakes. I want to have a child. I need this fertility plant to have a child." So Leah says, "I will sell them to you if you let me sleep with Jacob tonight." Seriously. Okay, so she sells the mandrakes to Rachel, and she gets to sleep with Jacob, having another child. Rachel finally does get pregnant. And as we know, she ends up actually with two sons. And so this whole story of the tribe of Israel, these 12 sons that come from Jacob, both from Leah and Rachel and two concubines, really kind of show what, to me, this desire for love. And I want us to talk a minute in this podcast about what would you do for love? And Kara, the reason I really wanted to touch base on this one is because as a life coach, as a pastor, pastor's wife, being in the ministry as many years as I have, I've watched women do horrific things for love.
Mm-hmm.
Self-sabotage, trying to buy love. We laugh and we laugh really at Rachel wanting to buy the mandrakes, but we've tried to buy love. We've tried to do things that are unhealthy for love and attention. And I really think we need to address the topic of what are you doing today because you desire love so deeply that you are selling your soul, that you are trying to buy it, earn it. What are you doing to look for love today?
That's so good. And I think one of the ways that we can most easily identify those points where we've either kind of gone too far, done the wrong things, or approached it the wrong way when we're looking for love is through really the process of Leah and Rachel. And the first step was recognize others will disappoint you.
Yeah. You know, this is so important because I had to learn it. And I like to be as real and raw as I can. I have been hurt by love. And whether it be my husband, my children, not my grandchildren yet, they're still young, they haven't hurt me yet. The church, people in the church, my sisters, I don't care. People hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
And once I really began to understand that, guess what? I hurt people. And we do strange things for love. And I don't know that Rachel meant to hurt Leah. I think she really, really, truly loved Jacob. She didn't think about how Leah never felt like she had a partner or had love. I don't think Leah really wanted to hurt Rachel. I think that there was something deep inside them that so desired love that because their tank wasn't being filled, they tried to fill it in really unhealthy ways. So the first step in the process is realize, ladies, you're going to be hurt by love. Love will hurt you, and you will hurt others.
Absolutely. And even in the Bible, it talks about very clearly, in this world, you will have trouble.
Yeah.
You will have some shady days.
Yeah.
People will definitely let you down.
Yeah.
But what's so good is that He, Jesus, our daddy, our savior, the first person who has ever loved us and will always love us best, has already won.
Absolutely.
There is nothing that can happen in this world that is outside of His control.
Yep.
And that definitely includes your heart. But going on to the next step in the process, I love this. It says, believe that you must love yourself first.
Wow, this is so, so important. And I know there's someone listening right now that needs to hear this because what you've done is you think the reason you don't feel loved is because you are unlovable. And if you don't love yourself first, your gifts, your qualities, your strengths, the things that God's put in you, until you discover those, until you embrace those, until you live those out and exercise those out, you can never find love. My friend, listen to me right now. No one can ever love you the way Jesus can love you. And when you embrace the love of the Father, you will begin to love yourself. Therefore, you will have something to give. If you don't love yourself, you'll have nothing to give anyone else. So you have to start by loving yourself, valuing yourself, realizing that the love you have of the Father is the only kind of love that you can give away because that's the only unconditional love there is, and embrace loving yourself first.
That's so good. And the very last step in the process is one that I actually feel very personal with because I feel like I've walked with this for a while. But it says, understand that you can't make someone love you. And I mean, I'm married now. My husband's amazing. Baby, if you're listening, what's up? But prior to that, my ex-boyfriend, I say, you got to flirt to convert because that's kind of what happened to me.
I love that saying.
But he knew Jesus. He had this amazing testimony. And I just kind of fell for him. I mean, like, who wouldn't? And so I came to know Jesus, but as our relationship kind of grew, I was like, well, I'm going to marry this guy. Like, we're both about God and we both look great. Why not? But as time went on, it turned into more of this emotional kind of game.
Mm.
And he would say things like, oh, you're so amazing, but I can't marry you. And I'm like, well, why not? If you're saying I'm perfect, like right. What's happening? And finally, I had to come to this realization, regardless of what he's verbally saying to me, his actions aren't matching up. I know that he has no intention of marrying me. I know that he may or may not have eyes on some other woman, but it was a really tough pill to swallow.
Yeah. You know, Kara, that's so good. I know this one's just really hitting me right now, ladies, because right now there's someone listening. I know it. And you are trying to do everything you can to make someone love you. It could be a wife who feels like if the house is clean, if the dinner's made, if the kids are perfect, if, you know, and I'm going to be honest with you, that was part of my story when I first got married. My house was clean. Our kids were perfect. I put pressure on my children to be perfect. I wanted love from my husband. I wanted love, affirmation from the church. I thought if I did all of these right things, then I would receive love. Mm-hmm. And that love bucket can't be filled that way. There's just no way. And so you have to realize you can never, ever, ever make someone love you. And really, pure love only comes again from the Father. Mm-hmm. Now, the relationship I have with my husband, to be honest with you, has grown. And the love I believe he has for me started when I realized how to love myself. Mm. He saw what I had in me when I saw what I had in me. And there's something I love to call irresistible attraction. And when I have this irresistible attraction that I love and know and value myself, others will. Mm-hmm. If you don't value yourself, no one else will. I mean, that's good. Somebody needs to hear that right now.
Absolutely.
If you don't value yourself, no one else will. So don't ever try to buy someone's love. Don't ever try to seek someone's love. When you love yourself, that irresistible attraction of love can be caught, but it can never be bought.
And that's so good. And when I fell in love with Jesus, really, for the first time, before that, I really had no desire to be a wife. I was like, everyone I see that's married is kind of miserable, so pass. But when I fell in love with Jesus, it was really the most beautiful depiction of what a romance should be like.
Yeah, yeah.
He is continuously chasing me. Ladies, this is coming from like the marathon runner. I would chase those men down, but it's something so different, so sweet and so genuine. When you find this man who sees how incredible and valuable you are, they will run, they will chase. In the Bible, it says he who finds a wife, not she who stalks a man on Facebook.
Oh, that's good.
Drop
Girl, you're
it.
Preaching now. You go. I love it.
But I think this is such a valuable story yeah. in everyone's life, whether you're a man or a woman listening. You just got to know at the end of the day, God loves you first and most. And, you know, people around you, they're either going to get on the train or they're going to step off.
Yeah, yeah. So ladies, if you find yourself as Rachel, who has a longing for a child, a longing for meaning, know that only God can fill that. And I do want to pray over you. I understand what it's like to not be able to conceive. And we want to pray because I believe that the God of the harvest has something coming for you right now. I in my spirit believe that right now I'm speaking to someone who just needs to step out in faith and call those things so. And for those who feel like you really aren't loved, you're in a relationship with someone who's living with you but not loving you, then I believe in the name of Jesus, once you begin to love yourself and value yourself, that irresistible attraction of the love of the Father is going to be all over you and you will be irresistibly attractive.
Amen. Thank you so much, Tammy, for sharing this with us today. And thank you so much for everyone listening for joining us. This is not the end. We have plenty more podcasts. If you are interested in finding out more information about the Women of Influence movement, just go ahead and check us out online at womenofinfluence.today. And we'll see you next time.